Now, some of you might remember that 10 months ago, it feels not like 10 months ago, it feels like about 3 seconds ago, that I spoke two messages called H2O. Yes, so some of you, 10 months ago that was. I know, it's crazy, isn't it? This is how quickly time is going. Now, I felt the Lord say, it's time for a refresher. It's time for a reminder because you know what? We forget, we leak. Things cram our mind, we forget what we heard. And I felt the Lord wanted to remind us of some things that he has asked of us as a community. You know, all the way through the Bible, God reminds his people over and over and over and over and over again because they forget. And we sometimes think, how did they forget? And then we do the same thing. We do the same thing. But God had to tell Joshua twice, be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous, probably three times actually. So there's something about reminding us about what God said. So 10 months ago, we prayed as a community every night on Zoom for 6 weeks. Who remembers doing that? Yeah, I can't believe it was 6 weeks. It was a long time. Every night we got on Zoom and we were praying into three things for the H2O. So it was two H's. That was the H times two and an O. So the first H was a hub, praying for a hub. Now, I've changed it slightly from then because, you know, we had a thought about whether maybe we are a hub as a group of people. It may be not a place, whereas we had always thought about it as a place. But I think it's both. I think it's both. I think we are a hub together because operating together means that we can do more than if we're single. So to strengthen us as a community, as a hub, and also a hub for a place for us to meet and to minister to our city from. Now, the reason I wanted to sing that song again, the ocean song, other than I felt like God was stirring something, is when God started talking to me in 2011 about planting a church or doing something, I didn't really know what it was then, doing something. 2011, God started speaking to me about this when we were in Hornsby in Sydney. And I knew he was giving me prophetic words and pictures. I was seeing all sorts of things. And yet I had to wait. It was the most excruciating thing. I realized how impatient a person I am. I had to wait. And that song, I had the lyrics of that song in front of me on my desk because I was like, okay, you know what you're asking, but obviously I need to go on a journey to increase my faith to go where you're telling us to go because I didn't know where it was. As many of you have heard me say, I would have gone to India, I would have gone to England, I would have gone to Tasmania, I would have gone anywhere. I was happy to go anywhere. But some of those places may have been a stretch for me. But you know what? God brought us to Port Macquarie, which is fantastic. Absolutely. So that's the reason that song, I didn't know Justin picked that today, but I was like, thank you, Lord, because this taps into why we are here. It taps into why we're here. So the hub is the first one. The second one is health. Because when we talk about health, straight away, sometimes we go to our body. But actually, we are a whole person, a whole being. So it's not just sickness I'm talking about, it's health of our body. So health of our body, soul, mind, spirit, all of it. The health of us as a whole person. That is something we want to continue to press in for because there is a lot of there's a lot of sickness, there's a lot of anxiety, there's a lot of stress. All these things are actually, they are killing us. And that's challenging. It's very challenging. And it's everywhere. But God says, I want to restore you. I want to make you whole, whole in every part of your body, all your wholeness. And so when I say health, I'm not just talking about we all need to be running up Harry's Lookout and be fit. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the health and wholeness of us as people. So that's what I mean when I say health. And the outreach, well, that's pretty obvious, but we want to minister to our community. We really want to minister to our community and lift up the name of Jesus. It's not just about us doing good works. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about lifting up the name of Jesus as we serve our community. And there's moments, you know, there's, to be honest, there's moments where I think, oh my gosh, we've been here 8 years and what have we done? I sometimes have that thought. And I have to stop myself thinking that, because that is exactly what the enemy wants me to do. Go down a rabbit hole of, you haven't done anything, what have you done? You know, all that. Just like to say out there, happens to all of us. The enemy goes, I have to stop and go, this is not about what I've done. This is about what you're doing. This is about what you're doing. So all he asks of us to do is to step out, put one foot in front of the other, and to be obedient. So the outreach, obviously, is we want to reach our community because they are lost. We have a lot of people around us that are hungry for purpose. They're hungry for solutions. They're desperate, actually. And we know the one that gives life. That's what we need to share. So, H2O, Hub Health Outreach. Now, I told you that I sometimes am impatient. But Brooke has this saying, and I've hijacked it. Sorry, Brooke. I'm going to give you credit, but I absolutely love this saying. I don't know if any of you have heard her say this, but she says, I'm probably going to get it wrong now, actually. His will, his time, his way. His will, his time. Oh, I knew I'd get it wrong way around. His will, his time, his way. His will, his time, his way. That's such a great little, I want to say mantra, but you know what I mean when I say that, right? It's a great catch cry, because it focuses on him, not on what I can make happen. And but we do still need to know in that space what our part is. And I preached a few weeks ago about playing our part, recognizing who we've been made to be and being that in the world, serving the Lord with that. So those two things go together. It's not just his will, his time, his way. I can just kick back and chill out. That's not what that's about. Is that right, Brooke? That's not what that's about. It's about his will, his time, his way. They are things that I don't ever want to change, because they are the best things to do life with. His will, his time, his way. However, what am I going to do by putting myself in his hands and say, use me in that? That's the challenge we have. So for those of you who don't know the journey of Lifeway, I'm just going to touch on it really briefly, because some of you have joined us since I shared this. And I, for those of you that know this story, I apologise. And yet I don't apologise, because it is part of why we're here. So God started speaking to me, like I said, in 2011. And we moved up here in 2015. That's why I said I had to be patient. It was a long time waiting. But I had a dream. In 2014, I had a dream of the tree on Town Green, the fig tree. And God said, that's where I want you to go, and this is what I want the church to look like. And he gave me a whole bunch of things. So I'm going to share one thing that he said, and I want you to close your eyes while I say it. Because what I want you to do is I want you to tap into your spiritual imagination, okay? We sometimes don't do this because we think it's weird, but I want us to tap into our imagination, because I believe God uses our imagination to take us into places that we would not normally go. So this is one thing he said to me. The church will be a hub of activity in a prominent place, a place of joy and laughter, where people can explore who I am. That is what he said. That's some of what he said. He said a bit more than that. When you picture that, I want you to just share with me actually what you saw. Now I'm really putting you on the spot. I was not going to ask you this, but I feel like the Lord's saying, tell me what you saw as your imagination listened to that sentence. I can read it again. Keep your eyes closed, because that's helpful. A hub of activity in a prominent place, a place of joy and laughter, where people can explore who I am. Yep. Mm. Yep. That's cool, actually. That's very cool. No, that's good. That, because that speaks into the who we are as people together, right? So that's very cool. I love that. Yeah, okay. The beach when we do the barbecue hangouts. Nice. Love that. That's cool. Yep.
I saw the tree that you were talking about. Mm. There was heaps of people around underneath it, and they were plucking things off the tree, which was actually part of the fruit of the spirit, and they were all dancing with joy and laughing, and they were going out all around the town.
Oh, that's cool. Love that. That's very cool. How good. We should build a little hub right underneath it. No, that's very cool. You were going to say something?
Yeah, I just had an impression as you were speaking it out of it's like almost didn't matter where it was. What was happening was that everybody in Port Macquarie, when it came up in conversation, people would say, oh, yeah, I heard about that. Mm.
That's cool.
The prominent place wasn't so much a place as a permeation of rumour.
I like that. Has anyone got their phone that can write these things down? I should have written, asked that. Can you just scribble down just a couple of those things? That's great. Beautiful. Before I move on, anybody else? I don't want to jump the thing, but we can move on. Yes. And I'm going to talk to you about that because I found a word today that spoke into that. Yes.
Have you ever met under the
Ever met under the when it is a beautiful prominent place. And actually, you know, before it was Chop and Chill, the cafe behind there was called The Fig. And when we first came, The Fig closed down and we were like, oh, should we buy that? Like, we had no money and there was nine of us, like, really, hello. It's not going to happen. But we have met as in we've stood under there and prayed and stuff, but not as a permanent thing, no.
Mm.
I don't know if you would, actually. Don't know. Maybe write that on the list. Maybe. Jesus sent a picnic. That's true, actually. We could just do that for sure. Yeah, that's good. And actually, on a side note about the tree, I just want to share with you because, as many of you know, that tree got hammered by lightning in that shocking storm that we had a few months ago. And I was a bit gutted because that tree was the tree that got us here. But I felt like the Lord said to me when I was sitting at Chop and Chill looking at it, I felt like he said, it's okay. The landscape has changed. And that's fine when landscape changes, but there's more light coming in. And if you notice down there, it was very dense, that tree. It was really dark around the bottom. There is more light coming in. And I felt really encouraged by that because I was like, okay, Lord, light. That's who you are. That's what you're about, bringing light into the dark places. And so I've taken that as a prophetic word, that is what God's doing in that space. And when I say prophetic word, it was God spoke it, so it's good. Okay, so the other thing is we didn't know what this was going to look like really when we first came. We had no idea. And we just started meeting in our lounge room. And, we did meet at the beach. That's true, we did, because I really wanted to meet at Lighthouse Beach. So we started meeting at the beach and then in our lounge room. And God gave us these words that actually do circle up there, but we won't do that now. Love, freedom, life, light, kingdom. Can I tell you, we believe that this community, and I know some of you are visiting today, it doesn't matter because actually it's kingdom. These words, love, freedom, life, light, kingdom, they are what we carry. I feel like God has given us those words to carry, that actually we authenticate those words by the way we live. That's what I feel he's called us to be and called us to walk out. And so we're still exploring that. We're still exploring what that looks like, but we're excited about it. And love was the first one. Love was the first one. Bless you. Bless you a lot. Anyway, we're here in this community, right? We're here in this community and we love it. We love it. We're here for a reason and purpose, God's purpose. But what can we do right now? So some, you know, we've had a lot of talk about the hub and about leasing somewhere and looking at places. And as a leadership team, we've, you know, put a few things on the table to look at. But we don't ever want to be people that go, well, until we get to that, we're just, you know, we're not really doing, we're just going to sit here. We don't want to do that. What have we got in our hand right now? What have we got in our hand right now? And actually, I love what you shared, Mark, because the table is what came to mind this morning when I was thinking about this. I was like, the table, even though some weeks we might only have 10 people there and other weeks we might have 25 people there, the table is a place to gather. It is a place where people feel safe, feel fed, can connect. And it is a great thing. And I'm not, I know Emma will hate this, but this was Emma's brainchild. So I'm sorry. But you know what? Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. She doesn't like a big fuss, but you know, we give honour where honour is due. And the thing is, it is so easy to do that. All you have to have is a table and some chairs and some food. It's not hard, right? Anybody can do it. And so, anyway, so talking about what we can do right now, what's in our hand to do, I want to invite you up for a second now to talk about this, and then I'm going to finish off with what we can do based on Colossians 4. So Dave's just going to share, don't check out, this is a finance thing, but it's going to be faith-filled finance.
Cool. Yeah, we've got a financial update, which Caroline's going to hand around. But I want to start off, and what I'm going to say, I'll basically stick to kind of like the cover letter and the contents of that. But I'll start off by saying, you know, as we're singing, let it rain, open the floodgates of heaven. You know, the scripture that came to mind to me, and maybe it's because I've been thinking finance today, but was from Malachi chapter 3, which is probably, you know, the primary promise in scripture when we think floodgates of heaven. It's God saying, test me in this, be faithful in what you're doing with your money or with your tithes, which is including, you know, back in the day, all your crops and everything. Test me in this and see if I will not pour out so much blessing. I will open the floodgates. And here's the thing. The blessing on them, on the people of Israel that Malachi was prophesying to, wasn't just for them. In actual fact, that passage, I'm trying to hold too many pages open here, hang on. That passage, that particular little prophetic passage finishes, then all the nations will call you blessed. For yours will be a delightful land, says the Lord Almighty. It was always about their witness to the nations, their witness to those who didn't know God. And so that's a favourite little passage for people to preach about giving. Yes, it's Old Testament, but actually it displays God's character and his heart of generosity, first and foremost. But it also tells us we have a part to play in that. And I just want to pick up, you know, we don't, for those of you who've been here a while, will realize, in fact, most people pick it up the first time they visit. We don't take up an offering. We don't give an offering talk. We don't tell people, you know, X, Y, Z, as if you hadn't heard it before every Sunday. And, you know, there's reasons other churches choose to do that. We choose not to. We actually believe that it's part of our discipleship. It's part of our faith living. You know, if you look at everything that Jesus taught about money, and he spoke about it a lot, he didn't compartmentalize it. It was part of how we honor God. It's part of how we live. And he also, Jesus was very good at picking up on heart attitudes. And that's the thing that he really spoke to most of all is, you know, he said things like, and I mentioned this in the letter, he said things like, where your treasure is, that's where your heart will be also. And he said, you can't serve both God and money. So if your pursuit is money, you can't be pursuing God. You know, you can't do both. Thanks, Aaron. Being diligent up on screen. You know, and I love how Jesus picked this. He grabbed hold of an opportunity that presented itself in the temple. In fact, he must have been setting it up, I think, because it actually starts off where it talks about it in Mark. It says Jesus actually sat there watching people putting stuff in the offering in the temple. He actually set it up. It's like he was waiting for the right scenario. It's like, ah, there it is. Thank you, Father. I knew this was going to happen today. And he said, see that widow? She put in everything she had. And all those other rich people are throwing stuff in and they claim they're being generous. He says, she gave more than any of them. He loves turning our ideas about money and finance absolutely on its head. And you know what I love about that story is he actually says, this is for everybody. It's not just for wealthy people. It's actually more important. You know, people in poverty without much are actually just as in need of God to transform understanding about money as people who are very wealthy. You know, people with a lot of money actually are going to be called to account. So they need a revelation from God about why he's given them that. Well, people in poverty need a revelation too about who God is. And that's what he highlights with that widow. He says she was trusting God. She knew that's the answer to her situation. And I just love some of the... One of my favourite passages from Paul in the New Testament is actually... there's two bits and they're linked. So I'll start off in Philippians, in the first chapter of his... In the opening of his letter to the church in Philippi, he says, in all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Here's a group of people that understood that their role in Paul's ministry was partnership. It wasn't just... He actually highlights that this is not just you giving and then me doing. You're actually partnering in what I'm doing. And we might think, oh, well, that was just because they supported him prayerfully. Actually, no, it's quite clear as we unpack who these people were, they supported him very generously financially. We actually read about it when he brags about them to other churches. See, he writes to the Corinthian church, Corinthians chapter 2. Let me find it. Or we could just put it on the screen. Because it's taking me forever because I've got too many thumbs. I did have it. I just got distraction. Here we go. We'll just read it here. So he talks about Philippi was a town in Macedonia. Yep, just dropping everything like a clown. Philippi was a town in Macedonia, and he says about the Macedonian churches when he's writing to Corinth, he says, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. And he goes on, I love it. For I testify, they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. These people understood faith. And this is where, in their poverty, God had given them a revelation about his goodness and about the part they could still play in what God wanted to do. They were so thankful for what God had already done for them, they needed to pay it forward. So entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. They saw it as a privilege to give. And so I just want to underscore those things. You know, in talking to the Corinthians, and it's pretty cheeky, isn't it, like doing this comparison thing that he does. I wonder how the Philippians would have felt about it, probably a bit embarrassed to be held up in the spotlight like that, especially as Corinth was probably quite a wealthy city as a crossroads trade route. But it just highlights that our generosity is not based in our own ability to provide. It's based in our sense of the importance of what God wants to do. It's based in faith and our appreciation of what he's already done. The closing verse of that passage, they exceeded our expectations because why? They gave themselves first of all to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. I actually think that's the healthiest pattern of church giving, is firstly, my heart belongs to God, but secondly, I love what he's doing and I want to partner in that. And so their partnership in the gospel looked like this, rich generosity. And so that's the foundation of our whole attitude towards New Testament giving. Yes, we are a local church, and so we actually, as I say in the letter, our desire is that each one of us is led by the Spirit of God in our giving. So that it's not under any compulsion from any human argument or anything like that, but as the Spirit leads. Caroline and I are not signatories on any of our accounts. We don't know what anyone gives other than ourselves. So I just want to present to you this report then. It's just kind of covers the year to date so far. There's a couple of things that I mention on the second page just with to do with the figures. I'll leave that with you to read. We want to avoid either error of ignoring finance and pretending it doesn't matter when clearly to God it matters a lot, so it probably should matter to me too. It doesn't matter to me what you do. It matters to God. It matters to me what goes on between God and me. So, but the other error is to be overly preoccupied with money and finance. And certainly, you know, we strive not to fall into either of those errors, but to teach faithfully, biblically, how to actually experience God's generosity in our own lives. Amen? We want to see that we excel in this grace of giving also. Thanks.
Good job, Dave D. Now, that might sound like that kind of interjected in a weird way, but it is all about where we're going and what we're doing, and some of those things need finance. So we also want to walk for the faith journey, and you know, we don't do an offering talk every week. We have a box at the back, and it's not because we can't be bothered, as Dave said, it's that we actually believe that it's an act of worship to give. And so we let the Spirit speak to you about what you do. And we don't get to see it, and we're just believing that God is doing great things. And if you please take that home and read it and have a look at it, because it does talk about a lot of things in there. And it's exciting to be partnering together, because that is what we're called to do, partner together. Yes. Bank account details, yep, on the website, and there's cards up the back, so you can direct deposit as you need to, if you want to, if you're led to, whatever. Anyway, I'll shut up about that now. I feel like I was just about to launch into song or something. So the reason we put that in there is because we want to walk the faith journey, not just in what we do with our time, what we do for our community, but what we do with finances. And so we need to be good stewards of that. So I want to wrap up this message by just saying a couple more things. So in order to be where God asks us to be, in order to walk out the H2O journey, hub health outreach, I want to go to Colossians 4, 2 to 6. So, thank you, Aaron. Sorry. He's waiting. This is just a small passage, but there's so much in it, and I'm not going to unpack it big time. You need to know that. I am wrapping it up. But this says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Now, I'm going to read this to you in the message, which we do have it in the message up there, don't we? Pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Don't forget to pray for us that God will open doors for telling the mystery of Christ, even while I'm locked up in this jail. Pray that every time I open my mouth, I'll be able to make Christ as plain as day to them. Does it go on or not? Okay. Use your heads as you live and work among outsiders. I love that. Use your heads. Get with the program, we might say, if we were writing it now. Don't miss a trick. Make the most of every opportunity. Be gracious in your speech. The goal is to bring out the best in others in a conversation, not put them down, not cut them out. Wowch. Ouch. I mean, they are saying the same thing, but they just say them a little bit differently. But every single one of us can do what is in this scripture. So I'm just going to break it down a little bit. You don't need to put this up. James 5, 16 to 18, I spoke on this. The earnest prayer of a righteous person, the person that's in right standing with God, has great power and produces wonderful results. Earnestly is sincerely with intense conviction. Sincerely with intense conviction. That's earnestly praying. So, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So we're asked to devote ourselves to prayer. That's the first thing. Devote ourselves to prayer. And I'm really preaching at myself here, because I feel really challenged and stirred by this. I'm like, hey, how serious am I about our community that I'm on my knees praying diligently, in earnest, with conviction for what God wants me to do in this place? I'm just talking about me, obviously, because I can't say that to you. But how convicted am I? Am I devoted to praying? Be watchful and thankful. So in the message when it says stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. In other words, let's look around. Let's not be navel gazing. Let's be looking around what we can be thankful for. Be alert. Be alert. There is all sorts of things trying to take us out. We don't want to focus on them. We want to recognize that that's happening, but we don't want to focus on it. Be alert and be thankful. Proclaim the mystery of Christ. That is what we're called to do. Proclaim the mystery of Christ. If you think about proclamation, I don't know about you, but when we were in England visiting my family, there was a town crier. Have any of you ever met a town crier? Okay, they are loud. You'd be a great town crier, actually. We don't have them here, do we? I don't even know if we have them here. But anyway, in England, they've dressed up in all the garb and they're ringing the bell and they're like, hear you, and you can hear them from up the other end of the street, like they are loud, and they are proclaiming what is going on. No one misses it. It's not like, did they say something? It's loud. Proclamation is loud. So when we are proclaiming the mystery of Christ, oh my goodness, it sounds like something. Okay, so let's get out. We should all go to Toastmasters and practice proclaiming. Have wisdom. Have wisdom. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders. I don't really like that word outsider, but I think the reality is it's anybody that's not in the kingdom. Be wise in the way you act. Wisdom, if we don't have it, we need to ask for it. James says that. If you lack wisdom, ask for it. There's no excuse. We can't be like, sorry, I've got no wisdom. I don't know what to say or do. Ask for it. Make the most of every opportunity. Let us not miss it. And let our conversation be full of grace, full of Jesus. I just love the seasoned with salt. Now, I think in those days, you know, they didn't have the same diet as we had. Salt was significant. But I know that when I make something, because I lost my taste when I got sick a few years ago, and I think I had pre-COVID COVID. If Emma comes over, I have to get her to test my cooking, or Emily, because I'm like, I can't taste if this has not got enough salt in it or if it's got too much salt in it. Can you test it? And it's quite embarrassing to have to do that because, you know, you never quite know what you're serving up. But the salt, if it hasn't got enough salt in it, and Emma says put some more salt in it, it absolutely lifts the flavour. It's outstanding. So in the Bible, when it says, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so you may know how to answer everyone, there is a flavour in that. There is something beautiful about what people are receiving when they're on the other end of that conversation. So we are called to talk the talk and walk the walk. So this is not passive, this is active. We are partnering together. Partnering together. Yes, that's right, absolutely. She's agreeing with me, I love it. And we should all do that. So good. This is not mine and Dave's idea. This is God's heart for the city, for our city. And there are a stack of churches, and I'll say this all the time, we love the other churches and they are all carrying what God has asked them to carry and they are doing it well and we will continue to champion them. In fact, I sent them all texts yesterday, all the pastors, just saying, I believe in what you're doing and I honour you. And even the pastor that I thought I was never going to hear back from said that was so encouraging and I was like, great news. But anyway, the point is we are all carrying a heart for the city. Every single church in this place is carrying a heart for the city and it's being carried by people like us. And we are all doing what he asks us to do. But together, as part of Lifeway, we are doing this. We are partnering together to do this together. Now, Dave and I just actually, while I was preparing this, I felt like the Lord drop into my spirit, prayer walking. So we prayed, like I said, we prayed on Zoom because it's what we needed to do then. We prayed on Zoom for 6 weeks. And although it might have been uncomfortable in that it was uncomfortable to pray in front of everybody else on this screen, it was comfortable in that we were all in our lounge room and it was pretty easy, really. But Dave and I feel stirred. We are going to start prayer walking this week and we are going to go to specific places that we feel God's asking us to go to. But I want to throw it out there. I want to throw it out that actually prayer walking to stir up our faith, we can all do that. It doesn't matter where we are. You might do it just around your workplace. You might do it in your street. So we want to go on a journey of prayer walking together. There's no special rules about it. So don't think, oh my goodness, what do I do? It's literally walking and praying. Walking, praying, declaring, believing, trusting, listening. There's some listening in there. So we're going to start that today. So I said to Dave, we can't launch this and say we're going to start prayer walking if we're not prepared to do it. So, we just feel a couple of places that just he and I need to go to start with. But we want to encourage you that we're partnering together in this, praying what God's doing with this community, in this community. And we're believing for a place that we can operate from where we can love people, where actually we are going to see the lost come in, come home. I mean, that is my heart cry. that we see the lost come home. And that is what we're here for, really. And so I want to encourage you this week. If the Lord whispers to you, yeah, go prayer walking. You just ask him, where do you want me to prayer walk? And let's see what he does. Let's see what he does. When we activate our faith and we put our feet or our money where our mouth is, well, I don't know, both work, don't they? let's see what he does. Let's see what he does. It's exciting to partner together in what God's doing. So let me pray for us. Let me pray for us. Lord, I just want to ask firstly right now for all the needs in this room. You know every single need in this room. And I want to ask that you meet those needs. You meet people right where they are. That you bring solution. That you bring answers. That you bring peace. That you stir up faith. I thank you that you are the God of miracles. You are the God who is faithful. And so I just pray right now that you meet those needs, every single one. In Jesus' name. And Lord, I pray that as we press into what you are calling of us as the Lifeway gathering, the Lifeway community, Lord, that you will show us our part to play. That we will step in and devote ourselves to prayer, to be grateful, to be thankful, to open our ears to hear what you're saying. That as we meet with people, we will season our conversation with salt so the conversation tastes amazing because it is absolutely full of you. Lord, I ask that you will keep us on track, that we will be on mission with what you ask of us, that we will not get sidetracked, that we will not let distraction, cloud, what it is that you have for us to do and who you are calling us to be as a group of people. Lord, we ask that you keep our way clear. Help us to put legs on what it is that you want us to do, what we carry. Thank you, Lord, for those five words, love, freedom, life, light, kingdom. Lord, we declare that over this city, that those words will be activated, that those words will be seen, heard, felt, known across this city. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Woo! Oh, exciting. Exciting. It's good days. So have a great week. Oh, yeah.